Give the Lord a praise. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Pastor amen. Jane. You can be seated this morning. We're going to get ready for the ministry of the Word today. And so I hope you downloaded your outlines. For those of you that are on the internet, there are outlines for you on our website. Just go under the blog page, and each week we put the PowerPoint outline there. And so we are thankful to be here this morning. I'm thankful for what God is doing in this season. This is a strategic time for the church as we gather together. During this course of time, you know, we were in our homes for Passover, and Passover season leads into Pentecost season. And so there's a gathering of the saints for the Pentecost season. And so we're really in a strategic time because the church is the ruling force in the earth. Amen. And so we can't lose sight of what the church's purpose is, or can we lose sight of the importance of agreeing together in prayer? So let's pray this morning as I ask the Lord about what to teach this Sunday morning. He said to me, my house shall be called a house of prayer. So let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the opportunity to minister your word today. I thank you, Lord, that it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you, Lord, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to rest upon your people today. And all those that will listen to this, God, I pray that your word will quicken on the inside of them. And, oh, Lord, that your truth and your plans will be birthed in your church during this season. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. In Charisma Magazine, does anyone read Charisma? They just recently had an article regarding a prophetic word that Bishop Hammond had given. And it says, many prophetic words have been released since the coronavirus, but one by Bishop Bill Hammond of Christian International especially resonated with me. In March, he prophesied, at this time of coronavirus, God is using to check us out to see if we are going to maintain our faith, be brave and courageous like Joshua and Caleb, those who manifest the right spirit and attitude. God is choosing them to be the ones to manifest his glory in the new awakening. Second Chronicles tells us that 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord move about on all the earth to strengthen the heart of that is completely toward him. Perhaps especially now, the Lord is carefully observing us. And so God is watching us, church. He's watching to see how we're handling our situations. And it's important that we stay focused on God's will and God's plan and not get caught up and distracted with so many things in the media and the spirit of the world. This morning as I was coming in, I said, Lord, I cut off the spirit of the world off of me in Jesus' name. I remove every negative weed seed, every thought that's contrary to your will for America. I remove it now in Jesus' name. I cut it off. Because if you would listen to the media, you would think that we are never going to recover. But I'm here to tell you this morning that the Lord told me to preach on my house will be called a house of prayer because America will recover if the church will pray. Amen. You see, in this season, the responsibility and the weight of what is going on is resting upon the people of God. It's the remnant of God who is listening to God's voice and praying and decreeing his will into the earth. And I am encouraged this morning as I studied what the Lord told me to study. I just want to impart that to you and share that with you. In Mark 11:17, the scripture says, you want to read it with me? My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. It's a place that we pray, right? I mean, when I've read this scripture before, I thought, well, this is a house. God's house is a place that we pray for all nations. But maybe there is another meaning to this scripture, that wherever you live, in whatever nation you live, there is a house of prayer. If you have a church, it is a house of prayer designed by God to accomplish His will in the earth through His church. The Lord had me look at that just a little bit different than what I've ever looked at it before. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. So wherever the church is, it's a house of prayer. That's the number one purpose that God has called the church together to pray. In one of my commentaries, I wrote down this statement. It says, the status you have with God gives you the ability to get prayers answered. So how's your status this morning? We get worried about our status in community and what other people think of us, but how's your status with God this morning? So we communicate with God through prayer, and God desires to communicate with us. He desires to have a relationship with each one of us, and that relationship involves all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And in Matthew 22:37-38, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. All of us belongs to God. We would have nothing if it was not for God's grace to us. We wouldn't be standing here today. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Let's read that together. It says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. All of us belongs to God. Our responsibility, our part, is to recognize that our body is a temple. And what goes on inside of us should represent and glorify God. So you know what goes on in a temple is prayer, right? Prayer and worship. We are vessels of prayer and worship. So we glorify God in our body and in our spirit because they belong to God. So we give God the glory and the honor for all that He does. Each time we bought two buildings to house our churches, and each time we have dedicated that house to the Lord God Almighty and His kingdom purposes. So our heart is to fulfill God's will as we gather together as the body of Christ. My house will be called a house of prayer. Each one of us are a house of prayer. And when we come together, the scripture says that we form a habitation for the Spirit of the living God to dwell in. There's something about the people of God coming together to pray that doesn't happen any other time. And that's that corporate anointing. So we might ask the question, what is the purpose of the house of God? Well, that's what we've been talking about. But God answers that clearly in His word. He talks about it in both the Old and the New Testament. We're just going to share a couple of Old Testament scriptures. Exodus 29, 42 through 43, if you'd read it with me. It says, "This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak with you. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory." So as we communicate with God through prayer, God meets with us as we gather together. And he speaks to us as we gather together. This is a promise in his word. Let's go on to the house that was built by Solomon at the dedication in 2 Chronicles 7. The Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and he said to him, "I've heard your prayer, and I've chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice." And then he goes on, 2 Chronicles 7, 14 through 15, which is very familiar probably to most of it, but it says, read it with me, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer made in this place." So God's greatest desire is to forgive us and to heal us. To forgive us and to heal our land. We need to get that expectation of what God wants to do in America. He wants to forgive us and he wants to heal our land. And the only way the power of God is released into the earth realm is when God's people humble themselves and pray. God can move without us because God can do whatever he wants, but he designed it to be that the people of God pray and he answers our prayers. The people of God pray the will of God into the earth and God moves on our behalf. So God's greatest desire is to forgive us. So if you have anything this morning you need to be forgiven of, God's greatest desire is that you are forgiven. And when the power of God is released, it is because the people of God have humbled themselves. We come to a place where it's God, we cannot do anything on our own. My body belongs to you. When I'm sick, I need to call upon the name of Jesus. My home belongs to you. My business belongs to you. My family belongs to you. My relationships belong to you. The ministry I do belongs to you. It's coming to that place of humbling ourselves that without knowing the will of God for our lives, we cannot accomplish anything successfully. Because God will make sure his will is accomplished in your life if we will humble ourselves and if we will pray and if we will seek his face. So if you want to see your family saved, then we pray. If you want to see your neighborhood changed, then you pray. If you want to see your business succeed, then you pray. Everything is based upon prayer. My house will be called a house of prayer. Let's read Mark 11:17 again. Then he taught, saying to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of thieves?" So basically, they had turned the house of God into something other than what it was intended for. Because we can say, well, we haven't made it a house, a den of thieves. We're not exchanging money for sacrifices. We're not doing any of that. The Lord shouldn't be upset with us. But the question always is, have we in our own hearts, in our own minds, changed the purpose of God for what it was, the house of God, for what it was really intended? What was the original intent of the house? My house will be called a house of prayer. And you know, I thought about this, and your mind can quickly shift, and you can begin thinking, well, this church does that, and that church does this. But the Lord said, you know what? You're not responsible for those other churches. You are responsible, Apostle Leonard and I are responsible for the family that gathers here at the River of Life. And so our house will be called a house of prayer. Amen. Those who come and gather in this house will seek God and will see God move on their behalf. This is why we've had so many miracles happen within our ministry. It's because our number one goal is to pray and seek God and His will. I remember when we first opened up our church, we had a group of deacons that wanted us to write them out in order of you do this, 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 and this with every person that comes in the door. Well, some things are done in order, but the Lord said the number one thing is to seek Him, to pray for that person, and He would give us the plan to help that person. Because you see, without God's help, you can't help anybody. You might know the word, you might think you're anointed, but if God is not helping, we are not helping anybody. If God does not move, nothing is eternal or takes effect. People can try harder. They can try harder, and they'll usually try harder for a couple days. How many of you out here have tried harder for a few days and then found out that in your own strength, I can do nothing? But with God's strength, I can do everything, right? So it's learning to seek God, seek His heart, seek His plan, because our heart's desire is not only to have our lives changed, but to be helpful in seeing other people's lives changed as they develop a relationship with God, their Father. That's the number one thing. That's one of the number one purposes of River of Life, is to help people learn to hear God's voice and to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We're not relating to God through a man or a woman or a leader. We have a personal relationship with our Father. Amen. Amen. There are people that gave their life for that to be so. Jesus was quoting from the book of Isaiah, chapter 56. And in that passage, the Lord is saying that when strangers would come in among Israel, that He would bring them to the holy mountain, and He would make them joyful in His house of prayer. So there's a joy that comes in the house of prayer. If we are a praying house, when people come in who are lost and weary and are strangers, they're going to find a joy in the house of prayer. Thank you, Lord. And then He went on and said, "For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." So we know that the house of God is a place where we are to communicate with God. The purpose of the church is to be a house of prayer, a meeting place for God to commune with the people, both individually and corporately. The scripture says in Hosea 10:12, it is time to seek the Lord. Let's read that together. "Sow for yourselves righteousness Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. When we pray, God promises to respond. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to fall on our knees. It's time to seek his face and seek his will. It's time to cry out for those who are lost and lonely. It's time to cry out for that harvest to come in. We are in a strategic time right now in America. And it's time to seek the Lord for America. It's time to seek the Lord for the harvest that God has. And it's even a greater emphasis God is putting on the church is we are the ones that is going to pray this thing all the way through for our economy to recover. God wants our economy to recover. He made us a great and powerful nation so that we could support the gospel across the nations. He made us a beacon on a hill. The enemy wants to take away the light. The enemy wants to take away the money because it takes money to spread the gospel. It takes money. And our economy was in a place that it was roaring, and I believe our economy is going to roar again. Yeah. It is going to roar again. The church has got to get what God's will is into their heart. Otherwise, we're going to have this defeat mentality, especially if we listen to the news. Psalm 105:4 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. And as I was meditating upon that scripture, the Lord said, God would not tell us to seek something if we were not able to find it. So when we seek the Lord and his strength, we will find strength. When we seek his face, we're going to find his face. That face-to-face encounter with God. If you're spiritually weak, then seek the Lord and pray. If you're spiritually hungry, then seek the Lord and pray. If you're tired and being complacent in your walk with God, seek the Lord and pray. Because if we will earnestly and fervently seek the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, God will manifest himself in ways that we have never dreamed possible before. Amen. Some of this rests, most of this rests, church, upon the responsibility of the believer. Jesus said in Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Call to me and I'll answer you. These are promises of God. We cannot let the word of God just slip by without activating that word in our heart and saying, God, I'm calling on you. And you said you would answer me. And the great and mighty thing that he's going to show you is the great and mighty answer that you need to move forward in your situation. Come on. He's going to tell us what we don't know. There's a whole lot we don't know. But it's not until we seek the Lord that we're going to find out those things that we don't know. We won't discover it just by sitting back and complaining. Come on. God's promised us in 2 Corinthians 2:9-10. Let's read it together and get it in our hearts. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. We may not be able to see them, but when we seek God, he reveals them. We may not have heard that instruction. We may not have heard that scripture before. We may not have heard that person speaking into our lives. Often mom and dad's words come back to us later, you know. We may not have heard it the first time, but when we seek God, He's going to cause our ears to hear things that we didn't hear before. When we pray, God promises wonderful and marvelous things will happen, just like it did in the early days of the church. You see, we're in this time of moving to Pentecost. This is a strategic time for the church to pray. We want to see our church come forth like the book of Acts. We want signs, wonders, and miracles and the power of God to manifest in our lives, in our families, in our children. We want to see God move. Is that true, church? Is that who we are? Then the only answer is that we've got to pray. We have our part to do. In Acts 2:42-47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Lord, we pray for the fear of the Lord to be in our lives. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We thank God for the fear of the Lord. We ask God to give that to us. Lord, give it to us. Put it in my heart, Lord. Put it in my spirit. I want to see your kingdom come, and I want to see your will be done in my River of Life family's life, in my friends, in my relationships, God, in your church, in America. Let the fear of God come upon America once again. When God's people commit themselves to pray, God unleashes His power. Now to Him, why don't you read that with me? I'm going to walk back to my keyboard while you're reading that. So our prayer this morning is that the Lord would make us a house of prayer. That our prayers would burn brightly like a flame before the presence of God. That it wouldn't go out. You know, they couldn't let the fire go out. They had to continually put incense upon the altar. And our prayers is the incense that goes upon the altars. The scripture says in Psalm 33, "Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast." And it goes on, it says, "The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect." And this morning, Lord, we thank You that the plans of the people who are coming against Your will and Your plan for America, we decree and declare that those plans are broken by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we speak death to those plans. We speak death to those voices, to those words that are coming against you, O God. And we thank you, Lord God, that their plans have no effect. That their words just sound hollow, O God. Hollow words that do not accomplish anything. Because the scripture goes on and says, the counsel of the Lord, it stands forever. The plans of his heart is to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his inheritance. God's plans for America extends to every generation. It doesn't stop with us, but it extends to every generation. We decree and declare that the plans of God are good plans, and that his plans will come forth in America. Father, I thank you, Lord, as I watch the National Day of Prayer. Paula White made several decrees over America. It would be good for you to go back and listen to that and come into agreement with those decrees. Our ears need to be tuned into what the Spirit of the Lord is saying over America. And then she turned to our president, President Trump, and she said, I believe I have a prophetic word for you. And she said, David had won victory after victory. And when he had gone to Ziklag, when he returned, the enemy had stolen everything from him. And he was so sorrowful, and he sat down and he wept and he cried. And he cried out to the Lord. And he asked God what he was supposed to do. And the Lord told him to pursue, and he would recover everything. And she said, the word of the Lord for America is to pursue, and you will recover everything. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Shikamasata. Thank you, Lord. We will recover everything because the Spirit of the Lord goes before us. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's because of the Spirit of God, and it is his divine will for America. And God is just asking his people this morning, will you come into agreement with me? Will you become a house of prayer? Will you begin to pray my will into the earth for America, for the souls and the lives not only of this nation, but the nations that we've been assigned to touch with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Will you be a house of prayer for all nations? But at this time, America needs the church to pray. You see, we accomplish something in the spirit realm that cannot be accomplished by any earthly strength. We've got to recognize the power that God has given to the church to pray his will into the earth and to see mountains be moved. To see the kings of the earth tremble because of the living power of the presence of God. God is going to accomplish things that we cannot explain. It's going to be past the explanation of the experts as God releases us from this coronavirus. In Jesus' name, it will not return in the fall. Will the church pray and agree and decree that God's will be accomplished? God's will is not for us to be sick and to be cursed with the plague. The enemy came in like a flood, but we decree and declare that today the church of Jesus Christ is raising up a standard against the flood of the enemy. Hashikamashata. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Papa Shika na 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 yo shoko soto. Hallelujah. Father, we commit ourselves today to be a house of prayer. And I just want you to pray and meditate while we listen to this song. It's by Eddie James, and it's called House of Prayer.
Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer.
This is our prayer this morning.
Make me a house, make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
Lord, make me a house, make me a house of prayer. Lord, make me a house.
The fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. House of prayer, a house of prayer. day and night, night and day, day and night, night and day, day and night, night and day, make me a house of prayer. Day and night, night and day, day and night, night and day, day and night, night and day, make me a house of prayer.
We pray
day and night, night and day.
May we pray
day and night, night and day.
Seek your face
day and night, night and day.
Make me a house of prayer.
Make me a house of prayer.
Day and night.
Thank you, Lord. Make us a house of prayer, Lord. Father, we thank you for your presence this morning, God, that you're speaking to your people, Lord. And Father, we hear your voice loud and clear. Make us a house of prayer, Lord. Give us your heart for this nation. Father, as we pray and intercede, God, we know Pentecost is coming. And we're expecting your Spirit to be poured out upon this nation. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that the economy will be set free to roar in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you're setting your people free to worship you in houses of worship across America. We thank you, Lord, that you're setting the businesses free, oh God. We decree and declare today you're moving upon the hearts, the hard hearts of governors, Father God, that are refusing to come into agreement with your will. God, you know who they are, and I'm not calling names, but I know that God's will is to be done through his people, and he has given each person a plan and a strategy to be able to fulfill their purpose. And so, God, I pray for these business owners that are so frustrated this morning, God, that you will call them on their knees today. God, that they will begin to pray and they will see you miraculously, Lord, break through on their behalf, oh God, and change the hearts. Change the hearts of legislation. Change the hearts, oh God, to align with your perfect will and your perfect plan for America. And we break the power of those words spoken, that by the end of March, our economy will not be able to, or by the end of May, our economy will not be able to recover. We decree and declare it will recover by the end of May. Can we be that bold? Can we be that bold to trust God to cause our economy to roar once again? Not for our benefit, but for the benefit of the kingdom of God. You see, there's a shift, there's a transition taking place in the spirit realm, and we're seeing the resistance play out in the earth realm. Come on. We
We've got to be willing to shift, to change, and to be flexible and to go with what God is asking us to do and what we are to do in this season. But we will not stand by as the Church of Jesus Christ and allow the devil to destroy our nation. We will not stand by and allow the devil to take away our liberties as Christians in this nation. Just as a free people, to worship God, to serve Him, and to follow the dreams that He's given to us. Father, we ask that You once again breathe fresh life upon the people. When we first went into this quarantine, the Lord spoke to me that three words. He said, I'm going to refresh, I'm going to renew, and I'm going to restore. So, Father, we say, refresh the souls of those who are weary today. Father, renew our minds to come into alignment with Your will for our country. And, Father God, restore all that the enemy has stolen in Jesus' name. Your promise says that if My people who are called by My name will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways and pray, God will hear from heaven. Look at somebody and say, you're His people. He's not talking to sinners in this. He's talking to His people in this passage. And the scripture before that says that when plagues and pestilence and droughts come upon the land, if My people, and we're His people, and we're saying yes to the Lord this morning to make us a house of prayer, I pray that Your prayers burn bright upon the altars. This next 2 weeks, we cannot stop praying. We have to pray, church. This is like one of the most important times in the church's history. We can turn the tide with the help of the Lord if we will just humble ourselves, repent, and pray. Let's see if we can sing that chorus. Let's give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah.